Let's start by opening in prayer. Kind, loving Father, we come before you and we first say thank you for allowing us to come into your home this morning to receive your word and the sacrament. We appreciate, Father, all the time that you place into the preparation for these services, and then we have the ability to sit and listen, to learn, to receive the strength that we need to get ourselves through the next week, and also, Father, to have the courage to overcome what we need to overcome and the prompting from you to be perfect in some way as best as we can. See the hearts that have gathered with us now, our teammates and their spouses. We pray now, Father, that you will, again, remove any care and concern from the hearts that are here, that they are not burdened, that they are able to listen to that which you have provided for us and we have prepared to share with the teammates. And we pray, Father, for peace to fill everybody's heart. And then after the call, Father, then you'll decide what you'll do with those concerns. We pray, Father, for your blessing over the evening. We've invited you to come. You're already here. And we do not take that for granted. And we appreciate, Father, all the hearts that have joined us for the goal that you have given us to help mankind find salvation. It is a huge responsibility. We don't take it lightly. And we are even humbled, Father, that you have chosen all of us in some capacity to serve in this manner. Provide now your blessing. We lay everything in your hands. If there's something we've forgotten, I know you'll cover it. And as always, according to what we ask, and in your name we pray, please hear us. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to need everybody to mute their phones, please. I met with Father on Tuesday, and then we also met yesterday. And this is what Father had to say. My very dear team, welcome to fall, the season where things turn inward to protect themselves from the cold and become more beautiful. Through every season, there is a time of planting, harvesting, and then resting. For many of you, there has been too much resting. Not enough seeding, planting, which means not very much for harvest. I have been encouraging all of you to become more active in your congregation. Some of you are very active, while others just come to the service. I need all of you to be active in some way in your local congregation. How will it be in the future as the congregations become aware of your position and task and you have not been active at all? Please get active. Pick one thing to do in the congregation. Now, many of you ask, what is it that I should be doing as a guardian? Let us talk about that. In past meetings, I have broken down all three tasks and expounded on them in our January 8, 2017 meeting. Triland will read this portion to you now. Number one, protect the bride of Christ. This does not only pertain to keeping her safe from Satan. It also has everything to do with the conflict that may arise between my children or what is currently happening in the church now with some of the brothers and how they act towards my children. Sometimes they are hostile towards one another. You are all an extension of my son Triland. He is also a prince of peace. You are his ambassadors of peace. When possible, step in and defend, protect, and give peace and counsel to the bride. Remind everyone, as my son often does, that this behavior is not allowed in my kingdom. Here, there is only love, compassion, and acceptance. I will add, and make peace between the members one towards another when you can as well. 2. Defend the apostles' doctrine. Does everyone know and understand our 10 articles of faith? Triland has gone over them in past meetings in March 2015. They are listed under the resource tab on the team site. It is important that all of you know and understand them. You know your faith. This is what it is based on. It is all that my son Jesus laid down through the apostles' ministry. In time, my son Triland will tell the world that the only path that will lead you to my kingdom as the bride of Christ is through the new apostolic church. No other. Yes, others may be the guests, but this is not the same. After my son's announcement, many of the leaders and priests will leave. They will start their own churches, but they will not stand in mine or Jesus' power and authority. They will be just like all the other denominations that currently spread half-truths and lies about my kingdom and how one can achieve eternal life. All of you will speak the truth and set them straight. 3, help bring the bride home. What is this task about? It is all about teaching. It is about working hand in hand with the apostles' ministry. All of you have been taught by my son in a way that only you know about. You have been given information about the future and what it holds. You know me, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit on a level that not even all the apostles know. It is your experiences of faith and the conversations you have with one another and us that you will share, and in doing so, you will teach others about us and how they too can have a deeper relationship with us. Then Father added, share your faith daily. Does everyone remember these points now? It is important that you are doing at least one of these each day. Yes, you can. Every opportunity is a learning opportunity and a teaching opportunity. Beloved, these tasks are not that complicated if they live in your hearts. Is my work your first love? Am I your most important person? Are you willing to sacrifice your will for mine? Are you willing to live your life in my service and serve mankind? If you cannot answer yes to at least one of these points, then you should reevaluate your life. What are you doing with your time? Please, do not be lazy and make excuses to me as to why you cannot do something each day. Keep your word and fulfill it. If you need help defining or gathering a deeper understanding of how you can meet these tasks daily, ask Triland. He will help you. I push you all now because the time is short. My plan will be fulfilled as I have laid out before time began. I need all of you to be active. Once Aquos is trained, I will tell Triland who the next guardian will be. He will train them, and then we can all move forward. In the meantime, stay busy. I loved you before I gave you physical life, and I will continue to love and teach you. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Okay. The religions portion. Somebody's phone is squealing. I don't know whose it is.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, because I don't know if I came off mute. I was going to say real quick on what you just shared with us, which is
Go
awesome.
Ahead.
This morning for Sunday school, the lesson was the concept of being fishers of men. And this word that you're giving to us was a lot of what we talked to the kids about. And what does it mean to be a fisher of men? And what does it mean to speak to others about our faith and who we are and about the gospel and the apostles' ministry? And, I mean, I'm still warm and yummy inside because these children get it. And the suggestions that they made and the ideas that they had, we even talked about, well, what happens if one of your friends says, well, I don't believe in that, right? And, I mean, really role-played through a lot of that. So, you know, having these kids joyfully and excitedly talk about their faith with their friends and shining their bright light, their God-given light. I mean, they're helping us help to bring the bride home as well. And I just thought it was fantastic because that's exactly how the day started for me today. And now
Sweet.
It's ending too.
It's a coincidence.
Right.
Anybody else? All right. The religions part of our meeting I am going to suspend for now. We're going to switch out Blazar. He has a lot on his plate. Atmos will step in and take his place, and he'll work with Brilliance to do the presentations. I would like to rework the whole idea. It's my fault that I didn't give them a point, a purpose, and an end game, which I will sit down with them or we'll discuss over the phone, and then we will pick up the presentations in February next year. Blazar was ordained a deacon last month for the Indian Reservation, so congratulations, Blazar. We wish you the best, and that's a fantastic position to be in for the American Indians. Let's see. I am moving something around. Hold on. Starlight was listening to a Focus on the Family series, and I will let her share that with all of you.
Is there a lot of background noise?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm headed into construction, so it'll be rumble strip. So the series that I listened to, it was about marriage, and if you guys have free time, I highly suggest for you download their podcast that they have, and they have a ton of different, there's like 16 of them on there all the time, of different authors that they have who've written books, and they have like a vast knowledge of information, and it opens my eyes up to things. Here's an example that I wanted to share, was that there was this husband. He was talking about praying for his wife, and he said, when you pray for your wife or you're praying for your husband, don't go to our Heavenly Father and start listing off everything that they do wrong and what drives you crazy and all their failures and all this. He said, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. He said, just remember and think about it this way, that you're praying for our Heavenly Father's daughter or son. So when you approach it that way, then you can pray for them and support them rather than ripping them apart and letting them know how terrible a person is. And I guess it can be for anyone for that matter, for who you're going to pray for. It's more of a supportive role than letting our Heavenly Father know how terrible a person is. So that's all that I had on that.
Thank you. So basically, Starlight's trying to tell us that if we come to Father and we complain about our spouse, that's not going to float with him. But if you and I ask him to give us a deeper understanding for our spouse, he certainly will do that for us. I've often said perhaps the services, if we miss one, we might be missing something that would help perfect us. Even in this series that Starlight and I were listening to, the man that was holding it said, have you ever thought that maybe Father gave your spouse something that you need to overcome inside yourself, and that's why it irritates you so much? That's food for thought.
Yep, they said, yeah, that was right. They said that your spouse is actually helping you overcome your shortcomings through them and what they...
There's a reason why Father paired us with the people that he paired us with. It's not just because we can get along, but it's that we can learn from each other. Anybody have any questions about that? So if you come to Father and you use the same line that Adam did, this woman that you gave me, yeah, it's not going to float. So I've tried that. It doesn't work. That was humor, people.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Funny. That's funny. Good grief. That's it. Go ahead.
Father, this man that you gave my wife, he's an idiot. Forgive me.
Oh, self-deprecation.
Yes, he's not too fond of that either.
You know, when I was at the a baseball field not too long ago, obviously our kids are really into sports, and there was a sign that said, before you complain, how much have you volunteered? And it made me really think about, along the lines of this, before we complain about anything, whether it's our relationship with somebody, our marriage, our congregation, maybe an athletic sporting event that our children are in, maybe it's something in the community. I mean, before we start going to God and complaining about how horrible this is, maybe it's our job, whatever, what we have to ask ourselves, like, what actually have we done to rectify that, to make that situation better? Because it's easy to sit on the sidelines, right, and to judge and to point out all the imperfections. The same day that I saw this sign, I, too, listened to the Moody Bible Institute and the same kind of things that you guys have been listening to. And this priest told the story about this man who went up to his pastor and said, you know, there's so many problems in the congregation. There's so many problems with this. There's so many problems with that. you know, what should I do about it? And the priest had said to this man, have you asked God what to do about this? And the man paused and he thought about it and he goes, no, I haven't, because I'm afraid he's going to ask me the same question. Like, what have you do about, like, because his question to God was, why would you allow suffering? Why would you allow illness? Why would you allow poverty? Why would you allow infighting in the congregation or in the community? You know, why are you allowing this? And the moral of the story was that if God were to ask him the same thing, why are you allowing this? Why are you humans allowing this? You know, it's all in perspective. And so I find that incredibly profound, that before we start complaining about what is or what isn't, we have to kind of look at ourselves. I know I do have to look in the mirror and say, okay, have I contributed to this mess, or have I done anything to de-escalate this mess?
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, Atmos and Starlight had experiences in eternity, so I will ask Atmos to go first, and then Starlight, you can come in next then.
Okay, so the other day, earlier this week, I was woke up in the morning from a previous night where the hair on my arms just stood up on end because of all the Egyptians, ancient Egyptians that were just kind of hanging around trying to figure out kind of who we were and what was going on, and it's the first time I'd ever seen them, and they were pretty thick in the area, and it was just pretty overwhelming. So it was definitely a different feeling than I've had before with souls hanging around. And the like I said, the following morning I meditated and I got into the center of my mind and invited Jesus in. We discussed a few things, and then he took me to the realm that these people are in. When we first got there, there were only certain souls that could see us, and there were the ones that were in our general area. And they their eyes were, it was like they hadn't seen light in thousands of years, and they hadn't. Their eyes were huge, and if any of you have ever seen Lord of the Rings and remember Gollum, kind of how he looked, where he had those big, almost soulless eyes, that's how a lot of these folks looked, and they, when they saw us, they were just kind of awestruck on their face. When we were there, obviously, I could only see maybe a 6 or 8 foot radius around me, and the souls that saw us were just awestruck and couldn't move. And then Jesus lit up the entire realm, and it was interesting because you could see shapes of pyramids and hills and other things like that, but you couldn't actually see the ground. That's how thick the souls were. And they were fighting with each other, and they were, you know, screaming and yelling, and once Jesus lit it up, they all kind of just stopped what they were doing and turned and looked and kind of placed their attention on us. Jesus said, you know, this is a realm that we need you to start working in. And so the thought came to me to, much like you've done in hell before, I know Q has done this, and I'm sure some of you, the others have done this as well, where you plant a flag and claim that little piece of hell for Father. This is now Father's piece of hell, so to speak. Well, that's what we did in this realm. We took a flag and we planted the New Apostolic flag in the realm. And then Father actually dropped a golden, almost like a pipe, a golden pipe down, or a link down to this flag. And it's a source of light in this realm for these people as they start to understand more and want to learn more. They can come to this light and actually start to learn more. And it's actually kind of a point for me to go in and just be there and just kind of be in the realm and just be there in spirit and just, you know, allowing these people to start kind of grasping what this all is. Afterwards, I went to Father, and Father said that these people have never known me. Many of them have never known me. The ones that have known me hated me. And he said, they all served a purpose in my plan, and they've been in darkness their entire life. They've been in darkness now in the realm that they're in now. And he said it's time for that to end. And he actually thanked me for going down there. And I was like, well, you know, I'm just doing what you need me to. And then he actually started crying. And he goes, but you don't understand, because these are souls that I for a purpose and have not been able to love, and they have not been able to love me, and this is the first contact they've ever had with me, many of them. So he just thanked me for going there, because this is a start, a new beginning for the people in this realm, these ancient Egyptians. So it was a pretty awesome feeling to get that affirmation from Father after doing something like that. And then he told me that I had been having an amazingly stressful week. It had just been rough. And he told me, he said, I will now grant you a peace you haven't known in a long time after you're done meditating. And know, too, that your struggles have forced you to this path. You've listened to me, and your struggles have led you to this exact point in time, and you've done what I needed you to. And he said, make sure that you make your fellow guardians aware that also are suffering and having problems in their lives, this is what they need to do as well. They need to either start praying for the realms that they know of, or they need to seek out the realms that they haven't seeked out yet. And he said, it will come to you as it needs to. So it was a pretty profound experience for me in general, and it's been something that hasn't happened in a while, so I was glad to have the experience. So that's it.
Thank you. Starlight?
So my experience was a little bit different, and kind of following up the tail end of what Atmos was saying. I've been working on some shortcomings and then just processing through different things through meditation and just working on myself. And there's been points in time where, you know, I have been working through some things from my past, and I think to myself, man, I hope no one's ever had to feel like this, or, you know, something will just strike something inside of my heart. And in those moments, I stop, and I've stopped dead in my tracks, and I've thought to myself that there's got to be a realm out there like this of the things that I'm feeling, or I'm working through, or I'm going through, or shortcomings that we've talked about in the past. And so I've sort of taken some of the I don't want to say the dark things, but some of the not so great things, and are trying to turn them into something good. You know, so a lot of times things can parallel in your life that you're going through can parallel with a realm in eternity. So then that will give you strength and support to be purposeful in it, and be able to pray for the souls that are in those realms or in those situations. I haven't necessarily gone to them, but I certainly know that they're there, and am just helping and praying for those realms in eternity and those souls. That's it.
Thank you. We had discussed in the past working on one or two shortcomings and focusing on those. And then once we mastered those, we'd move on to other ones. I can tell you that my first week of doing it was phenomenal, but the second week was miserable. Third week was better. Fourth week was bumpy. I have not completely overcome what I've been working on, but I'm sharing this with you because I want to remind everybody to keep doing this. And we also had discussed that perhaps you could go into eternity and spend time in the realms of people who share that same shortcoming with you, because they will learn from you. They will see the strength that you have. And maybe some of these people have been talked to by our brothers and sisters there, but until they actually see somebody who has made an effort greater than them, maybe that's what they need to move them forward. And this also goes hand in hand with Father's task today, or where he challenged all of us to do one thing every day. one thing out of the three that are a responsibility. And it would fall into that purview to do that because that falls under teaching. Does anybody want to share any experience they've had with their shortcomings? I'm not asking you to reveal what your shortcoming is, but would anybody else like to share anything?
Yeah, it's hard.
Yes, it is.
I'd like to share just to get it started because I'm sure there's lots of other cool things. So I picked a really hard one, and once I picked it, within 2 days, I wish I could change it, but then I felt like I was already committed and no take backs. So what I chose was to maintain peace. And I really wish I would have picked something like, I don't know, not swearing because I don't usually swear. But the interesting thing about picking keeping your peace and hanging on to, you know, the peace that Jesus gives us, that he left for, the gift that he gave to us, and the fact that we can renew that, you know, in services, is that there's so many different ways that our peace can be taken from us. So in this month of saying that I'm committed to keeping my peace, our daughter was diagnosed with scoliosis, and has to go to multiple specialists, so she's 6. And in fact, my husband's driving her down to Indianapolis right now so she can see a specialist tomorrow. And she has to wear a brace for 13 hours a day from now until she stops growing. That could be like 10 years. I also took a new job. And so, you know, when most people give, well, most sales reps give 2 weeks notice at their old job, the old job's like, okay, great, we'll just, you know, turn in your computer and, you know, the next 2 weeks are just fun stuff. That didn't happen for me. I was the project manager of an advisory board meeting in Baltimore. So I was arranging an advisory board meeting for 12 key opinion leaders across the country to have a meeting in Baltimore, and that meeting actually ended up resulting on my last day of work at my old job. And in the meantime, I got to start the onboarding process, you know, and the studying and all that stuff from my new job. And then, you know, at the same time with school and kids and Sunday school and just the normal stuff in life, right? So it's amazing when you have, and all of us juggle millions of things. They're going to look differently, but they're going to feel exactly the same. Being really cognizant and very focused on the fact that I was going to maintain peace, it was very helpful because there's a lot of stuff that came up and a lot of feelings that came up, and whether it was the transition of the job or feelings about, you know, having your perfect little 6-year-old be given a chronic diagnosis, that if I hadn't had that commitment this month, as difficult as it has been, I'm not sure I would have gotten through this month as well as I did. So as much as on day 2, I wish I hadn't committed to peace, it was actually that commitment that helped me survive this past month, because knowing that I made this commitment, I really had to control my emotions and I really had to control my feelings. And, you know, in any situation, you know, some of the ways that we can be treated during the month, whether it's by coworkers or a family member or, you know, someone when you're driving down the Edens and somebody cuts you off at 90 miles an hour. All these things that when you're that focused on maintaining it, maintaining peace and focus on peace, I found it ironic. One of the things that I realized is in that crazy month of a million things going on that were tugging at my heart and my mind and my soul, is one of the other big things for me was the number of times that Satan's trying to convince me to judge somebody or something. And in this political and social environment, that can happen on an hourly basis depending on, you know, what environment you're in. And so for me, as difficult as it was, I guess my point is that it helped me get through this really, really overwhelming at times month. And it brought me insight into other areas where, because I had to maintain peace, I started working on them too. I wish I would have just picked one of them instead of having to work on like 10 of them at once. but I'm really grateful for this exercise because, again, it helped me it helped me survive this week, so, or this month. That's what I wanted to share.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, I wanted to share with everybody. I think last month I asked everyone to, if they could remember, to pray for Al Capone's wife, May. She was actually in service today, first service, and it was very nice. So I would say continue to pray for those souls that are on your heart. I wanted to just touch briefly on the situation that happened with Atmos in his home last month, where he thought that the person that lived down the street was murdered in his neighbor's front yard in a vehicle, and he sent an email out under my instruction to share with everybody what had happened, and then challenged everybody to give him back some feedback as to how you protect your families as well, because he wanted your input. I believe that some people didn't understand where he was coming from, so I will just point this out. Sometimes our perspective of a situation is not always the correct one, and there's always a backstory with more details. I will say that Atmos's mental state would have been like, was like anybody else who would ever feel that their house was actually violated in some way, and that you felt that your home was not protected at that point. And I would also say that if anybody on the team reaches out to us, there shouldn't be any hostility towards one another with the idea of, well, who is this person to tell me what to do, or why would they ask things of me? Because I'll be honest, I had felt and even heard that some of you were a little taken aback by his request. I guess what I will say is I am the commander of this team, but not one of us on this team is greater than anybody else. And at any time, someone should never feel that they can't make a request of us. I just want to make that clear. If you and I are to serve mankind, we're also here to serve each other. I'm not yelling at you. I'm not reprimanding. I'm just bringing this to your attention because it actually kind of broke my heart when I heard some people didn't understand where he was coming from and took offense. So I would ask that you would please, from this point forward, let's give each other the benefit of the doubt. Let's look at each other as brothers and sisters, which we're supposed to be doing, and let's look at each other with love. And instead of having a judgmental opinion about something, maybe if the person that's sending the email out isn't clear enough, perhaps you could have the fortitude to contact them and say, could you please explain this to me? I don't understand, but I want to help, because that's what we're all here for, okay? Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. I've been spending a lot of time with Father in the morning, and I wanted to bring that out because for me, I don't start my day without stopping by to see Father. I get a hug from him, I get a hug from Jesus, and I get a hug from HS. And each day, one of them gives me something to help me get through the day. And there are some times where I ask Father to please hold my hand and guide me through the day because I'm not sure how it's going to go. And I would encourage all of you to do the same thing. We already take our seventh chakra and we ground it into Father's throne. If you have the opportunity to stand in front of him, please do so. And even if you're not a guardian, you can still connect yourself with Father by saying that. Could you please hold my hand, guide us through the day? May I please have a hug? He is our Father, and he wants to hear from you and I. He wants to be closer to you and I. Does anybody have any questions on that or any experiences you'd like to share? It's a quiet group tonight. It's okay. I also wanted to throw this out there. Is anybody having any struggles, issues, or problems I would encourage us as a team to fix them now. If something's not clear enough to you, if you need me, like Father said, to define how we can fulfill these three tasks each day, please reach out to me and let me know. I'm not asking for anybody to bear their struggles or issues or problems right now. If you do have something that you would like the team to personally remember you for, some problem that's coming up, we are aware now, again, that Brilliance's little one is going through a difficult time. It's breaking the parents' hearts. We could feel that. So now we can all add that to our daily prayer to shore up one of our teammates. Is there someone else who needs help? I know that Aquos had surgery last Thursday on his knee. He's in a lot of pain. It's still very hurt, painful. If you want to share with us, Aquos, anything, now's your chance. Jump in. No takers. No problem. We'll pray for him. Does anybody else have anything they'd like the team to remember?
It's Starlight. I have, I'm waiting on, well, I had a whole slew of tests done because they don't know what's wrong with me. So they, as far as we aren't sure if it's at thyroid or something, but basically I feel like garbage every day. So we had a ton of blood work and ultrasound stuff and whatnot done, and now we're just waiting for some results and for the doctor to figure it out. We had to go to Chicago to the endocrinologist there because the doctors here weren't doing anything. So, and if you want to expound on it, you can.
No, it's all good.
Blood check. I'm currently wearing a Holter monitor to record all of my heart activity because I was having heart palpitations and dizziness. So I wear it for a month, and I just like for everybody to pray that it picks up everything that's going on so that we can find out what's going on. So far, all my test results have come back good, which is bittersweet. I mean, it's good that everything looks great on paper, but it's not good because it's not showing what's going on. So I go for some more tests, but then at the same time, you know, hopefully this monitor will pick up. I mean, it was able to pick something up yesterday, so I have, like, what, 20-something more days to go. So everybody can just remember that.
I sure can. Anybody else?
Sorry, I had started talking and realized I didn't turn off the mute. It might be the painkillers. Crazy Canadian stuff. Well, I have two knees. I have a heartbeat in one of them now. But as Tryland would know, I mean, it's painful, but he went through knee surgery himself. It's fixed now, so, I mean, the pain will go away. I appreciate the thoughts and prayers. It just needs to heal now. They reattached. My MCL was partially torn, and I had torn meniscus that I injured back in February, so they fixed it now. So hopefully no more pain pretty soon.
Good. Anybody else?
Well, mine's not a health issue, but I just, like I was saying, I just started a new job. I was in Dallas. I was in Texas last week, and I leave tomorrow morning bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for a week of training in Seattle. And so, as you all know, taking on a new job brings on its own anxiety and excitement, and a lot of things have changed since it was the job that I interviewed for, which is fine. That must be part of Father's plan, or at least that's what I keep telling myself. And the person that I'm going to be reporting to now, although he's a very high energy, very smart person, he seems to be a person who's right about everything. And so this is going to be wonderful, interesting. As you probably all already know, if I haven't shared it with you, my nature is confrontational right fighter. And so, no, because thankfully meditation over the last 12 years, 15 maybe almost, no, how old Ethan? Anyways, it's helped me subdue that, and it's helped me to, again, stay in my place of happy peace. But just in the last 2 weeks of conference calls and talking with him, I can see that I'm going to be exercising a lot of self-control because, you know, we all know when push comes to shove and you're shoved hard enough, your fabulous nature comes out. And so if everyone wouldn't mind praying for me, not only to get through this training and onboarding and the start of the new job, but that I do well in managing a new boss who is always right. I mean, to the point where when you correct him and say, well, don't you think, wait, I thought it was this way. He's like, well, yeah, that's what I said. When you know clearly it's not what he said. So, anyways, if you could keep me in your thoughts, maybe I'm just going to have to keep peace as my challenge in this next month because that's going to be a challenge. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Trice has had to get off the call, but I know he would ask everybody, if you could please remember him, he's trying to get a motorized wheelchair/lift. And the insurance company is only willing to pay for the wheelchair part. They don't cover the lift, so he has a GoFundMe page that's out there. He's not asking the team to contribute in any way, but if you could let other people know, and it's their choice if they want to contribute or not, but he would appreciate that because he's getting weaker. He heard from Father that he's actually going to get worse before he's going to get better, before Father decides to restore him, and he's accepted that. But I would throw that out, that everyone please keep him in your prayers as well. Thank you. Anybody else? Spouses, you can chime in too.
Hey, Trylin, I wanted to...
Yeah.
First of all, you know, this shortcoming, it's difficult to really put your finger on what should I work on, right? And so really nice to hear from Brilliance, and I appreciate that greatly because it just brought some more clarity to how we should be approaching this. Because now I understand more how I should figure this out because I need to look at my day and figure out where I was an idiot. Okay, plain and simple. No, because I think of shortcomings as, you know, okay, what is in my nature that I have to change? But it's not necessarily that. It's the things that I do with that nature and all of that. So I just want to throw that out, that thank you, Brilliance, for sharing. And if anybody else has more wisdom and clarity in dealing with this, because it's hard to really figure out. And if I had been thinking of it in that way, because I keep thinking, okay, what am I overcoming and all of that? And it's just, there's so many things that you don't really know how to focus. And so I've had difficulty in this past month in that way.
Well, I think I'm just kind of an idiot. I didn't realize you were supposed to be working on a shortcoming. when I prayed about what I was going to pick, that's what came over my heart, is to try 1 month of maintaining peace at all times.
You helped us understand that is a shortcoming. Because, see, that's what I was – I was thinking of a shortcoming in a different way, but – If that, I have to learn how to keep peace. That's what I'm saying. So I thank you for that.
You're welcome. Don't pick it. I'm just kidding. I think you, I don't know. I think I almost didn't realize, you know, what peace really means, you know, because I'm a pretty easygoing person, and, you know, again, from 10 years of meditation, I mean, I find myself to be an incredibly peaceful, I would think, I would consider myself an incredibly peaceful person because I'm not outwardly, you know, unless I'm in a sales call, but I'm not outwardly aggressive or, you know, mouthing off to people and stuff like that. The real struggle was, internal piece. Because sometimes, you know, I can control myself so that nobody knows what's going on inside. But it was being really, really thoughtful. And it could just be, you know, like when you're tired or you're hungry or things aren't going your way, one person can say one thing and you can just feel your energy change. And I think that there's so many things that attack us during the day to steal our peace. But there's different, I learned through this experience and I'm still learning, that there's different levels of peace. And it made me focus on the thoughts and the conversations going on in my head. And with a bunch of stuff, all the stuff that's happened, I mean, even just the diagnosis that Giselle got, the stuff that was going on in my head that I wanted to say to the doctor, was, I mean, if I wasn't paying attention to it, I probably would have missed it. And then having to tease out, you know, what is grief, what is anxiety, what is, you know, fear, like, because any one of those things and many other emotions can take that true peace. You know, and I don't know how to describe it. I think it's that peace that you feel when you're connected to a really great service, and it's that, you know, or you're sitting on Father's lap and he's just, you know, sharing his love with you. That's where I tried to stay all month. I mean, I did a lot better than I would have having not taken on this challenge. I'm not perfect by any means, but because I have to say, because I was, I don't say struggling, because I was so focused on it, I wasn't really sure, and maybe this is where you guys could help me, how to relate that to souls in the depart, you know, in eternity. I mean, I pray, my heart is pulled towards children that have either been aborted or have miscarried or had been, their lives have been taken at an early age. I have this affinity to those souls, and so I would pray for them, and I can't even imagine the lack of peace some of these souls could be experiencing. But besides that, I don't know if there's some fine-tuning that I still need to go through, because that part was just as challenging in trying to see how I can connect with eternity while maintaining my peace. Because how could I share anything about peace when I was still struggling with it on my own? So I would talk to them about the fact that, let's struggle together. Let's try and figure this out together. And if you figure out some good stuff that's going to help you in eternity, then you got to share it with me, and I'll share it with you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
My son Kirk shared something with me. They just adopted a dog. And a puppy, and he's, you know, cute as can be. But he was being bred as a bait dog. And so, you know, for pit bulls and fighting and all that stuff, but, you know, that's not the story. But he said that it's very difficult to get chosen to be a foster family for a puppy, and he explained, you know, how much it took, and then he said, "God, why would it be? It's ridiculous that it's so much." And then it was shared with him a story, and you know, I'm going to share this with you, and I don't get it, and I didn't want to have that in my mind, that the picture of what I'm going to tell you in my mind. But when I think about what our job is, there may be souls in eternity who we can't relate to because of who we are. But there's some pretty dark out there. And maybe when these things are brought to our attention, we somehow, not that we're necessarily going to have an empathy and a true understanding of where they're coming from, but that we can show them some love or focus and bother. He told me that a dog, a puppy, possibly, he just said dog, I don't know if it was a puppy or not, was adopted by two men. And the men raped this dog to death. And when he told me that, it just made me sick. And I thought to myself, how, where does that come from? And at the time I just wanted to let it go. But as I'm listening to us talking this evening, and we're going to be going into eternity, and it might be with something that we're, a shortcoming that we have, but it might not be a shortcoming that we have. It might very well be a shortcoming. And we have to somehow muster the strength to be of help to souls. Because when he told me that, I thought, you know, there's an infinite number of possibilities of ugly. And I, for one, would never even imagine that something like that could happen. But there are souls in eternity who've done worse. And we can't judge. Father loves all. And who knows what they had to deal with in life. That make any sense at all to anyone?
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. And in fact, there's so many, that concept is like a prism to me, because you were talking about empathy, and when we usually think about empathy, we think of these loving, warm, sympathetic feelings. But I'll tell you, in praying for the souls that I'm connected to, the empathy that I have for them turns me into a bear for the people and the souls that coordinated the efforts for them to end up here. And what I mean by that is the mother bear, it's because of empathy that the mother bear will rip your head off when she's around her babies, right? Her empathy for her babies causes her to be incredibly aggressive and tear your head off if you get near them. And so to your point, I mean, these feelings, these emotions, these perspectives, they're endless, because I had to realize that as I'm talking to and praying with and praying for these beautiful little baby souls, that I had to even sometimes watch my empathy, because, and this is a completely different story than what you just told, but to your point, while I'm praying for and loving and trying to connect with these souls, there was another side of me, because I wouldn't have been aware of it, but I had to be aware of it because I had to maintain my peace, that had such not nice feeling towards the people that would cause these souls to be in this particular realm. And that's a really hard thing for me to struggle with.
Mm-hmm. And struggle that we all have to pursue.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Thank you. Staying in that vein, the preparatory service for the departed is 2 weeks away. It's October 28th. I need everyone to please be vigil to, if Father reveals to you a realm or a condition, please go into eternity, help those souls, bring it to our attention, send an email or something to everybody so we can all pray for them. We have that list that we published a couple months ago from the last service. Please be conscious of them, because they still need more prayers than they're getting. And then departed service is November 4th, and that's the daylight savings time day that we actually gain an hour. So no excuses. We'll be wide awake at the service. I also have been experimenting with my Pog Shield and my roses and playing around with them, and I found out that if you put your Pog Shield up first and then you put your roses outside of the Pog, for myself, it works better. And maybe you would like to try that too, because sometimes, even though we've protected ourselves, we still feel the negative energy of other people around us, or we're in a huge public setting and it gets a little overwhelming. I think this will help a little bit. Starlight and I would like to plan to visit every single guardian and their family next year. If you could send me an email with a number of different months that would work for you and your family, Starlight and I will put together a schedule, and we will see when we can actually spend a little time with everyone, because I feel disconnected sometimes with some of you. So I want to reconnect, and we want to do that next year. So if you can, send me some information. I'm also going to ask the guardians if you could also send me your spouse's email addresses, because I'm going to be doing up the new schedule for the team meeting next year, and I would like to include them in the invitation. I'm also going to include some spouses in the ending prayer because I'm down a couple guardians. So if I contact you, spouses, and you are willing to pray, I appreciate that. I'm not going to force anybody. You're not obligated. If you're uncomfortable doing it, just tell me. I asked a spouse last week, and she said, no, I'm really uncomfortable, so I chose somebody else. And we'll be flipping the switch here. I will let all of you that I asked to pray with me pray first, because you all tell me that I don't leave anything for you to pray. So I'll let you guys go first, and then I'll pray second and do the cleanup. So I've asked Danielle to pray so she can pray first. Before we do that, does anybody have anything else they'd like to share? Any question, any concern, any story, any irritant, whatever? Go ahead.
I debated about saying it, but it's Akos here. And I just wanted to, throughout the whole meeting, there's something that's tug on my heart. Most of you know back in July I went on a leave of absence from my ministry. And that was kind of hard to do. I was burnt out in my congregation. I was by myself with no other deacons or any other ministers for 4 years. And they asked me to keep going, and to all my blessing bearers told me to go in different directions. And when I finally stepped down, it was something that was very unknown to me. And for those who have done it before, you know what I'm talking about. But I didn't realize where I had gotten in my life spiritually and then naturally too after the leaves. I struggled to sit in a bench for service. You try to prepare, do everything you can, but I went to church almost angry, and I left angry. Not because of what, you know, Father had given us, was trying to do, but I struggled to see past the men that had done certain things to me and see the ministry. And, you know, when we talk about shortcomings, other than, you know, the Trinity, who knows us best? It's our spouse, so you look to your left or across and see. And it was Helen that helped me realize what my shortcoming at that moment was and how much it was robbing me. But not only was it robbing me, it was robbing her too whenever we would go to church, because she loved me. You talk about empathy. She was hurt too by the way we were both treated, because we served the Lord together. But, you know, being able to realize that is one thing, but then being able to overcome it is another thing, because once you're able to overcome it, you're able to overcome that barrier that is stopping you from experience what Father wants to give you. And the freedom and the sense of satisfaction that you feel when that happens, there's nothing to compare to it. So if you're looking for a shortcoming, if you need help through your shortcoming, who better than your best friend? And, you know, as I sat there, I also thought, you know, Tryland, you spoke about service for the departed. And I thought of, you know, maybe I have to help those who also were mistreated, and all they wanted to do was serve the Lord. And the ones who were supposed to support tried to make it harder. And, you know, when you look into eternity, none of us can say that we've gone through everything that a soul has gone through. But a soul isn't necessarily always looking for someone that's perfect or a flame. You know, when it's pitch black, a spark is very, very bright. And sometimes it's a spark that starts a flame. And that's sometimes all we need to be. And never underestimate what you can do or who you can be, because that spark may be what Father needs you to do and needs you to give off. And you'll see, too, that whatever you go through, Helen and I have just learned to remember who we are, that we are children of a king. We have someone looking after us, and we are never alone. So regardless of how good life is, how bad life is, how confused we are, or how lost we are, when we remember that, we're always found again. So that's something that, you know, we've been able to overcome together. And if it weren't for her, I'd be in big doo-doo. So I just wanted to share that with you all.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Trilan, yes. What did we hear in service today about a match?
Oh, yeah. Tell them that.
You know, I tell you, if ever we had a doubt about what we hear on these conference calls, and not that we do, we don't, because we're here, but what Andrew just shared was absolutely so beautiful. We heard the same thing in service, but we heard it this way. It's a story of, I guess, a minister and a group of people, and he took them on an excursion, and they went into a cave, and they walked in the cave for a while, and they got to a point where they actually had to get down on their belly and crawl through long. And went through, and they went into this huge cavern, but they couldn't see anything. They couldn't even see their hands in front of their face. And, I mean, pitch black. They've never been in such a dark situation. And this priest lit a match. The guy, priest, whoever it was, I'm not sure, lit a match. And it illuminated the entire cavern. There was not a dark spot in the cavern. And it's just one little flame. And it came out in service that if that's all he has, that's so much more than we know.
We are all that little light in the darkness. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you for attending the meeting. Danielle, if you'd please pray.
Sure will. All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, and we first of all want to say thank you because you have allowed us to enjoy this beautiful day. You've allowed us to start our day with you in your home, hearing your word, praising you and glorifying you. And you've also allowed us to end our day, being with the team, hearing the struggles, the tribulations, the trials, the shortcomings that we need to work through, what you need from us, and what we can do to help you allow your work to advance so that the guardians have the strength and the courage to complete the task that you have given them. We thank you for the hope and the love and the strength that fills our homes and our hearts. And I ask personally that you give each guardian and their spouses peace, strength, love, comfort, joy, understanding for situations that we're going to go through, that we face, that we don't know what to do with, that we don't understand what we're going through, but also the wonderful moments that we get to share with one another, that we get to share with our family, that we get to share with our friends. So I just ask for that personally for everyone. I ask that you allow us to take the word that we've heard this morning, as well as the word and the stories that we have heard this evening and the experiences, that we can take those with us through the week, that we can have that peace that you have given us. And we also ask that the concerns, the prayer requests and the struggles that everyone is facing, that we remember those, that we pray for them, but that we can leave them at your feet, because we know with you, everything is possible. So we love you very much, Heavenly Father. You have given us everything we could have ever asked for, from the good to the bad, and we would be nowhere and nothing without you. Thank you again for Team Triland. Thank you again for the Guardians, for allowing the spouses to be a part of this as well. You are a wonderful Father. Jesus, we love you with all of our heart as well. And the Holy Spirit, you are a wonderful comforter. So thank you for everything you do. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, we come before you again, and it is such a wonderful evening to spend time with the Guardians and their spouses, to hear the hearts and what they share, to watch, Father, as we all grow together and closer, but too, Father, we can learn from one another. There have been many things that were expressed this evening from many different hearts of different concerns that they share, whether it be a health issue, a financial situation, or even, Father, an issue with someone in their family. You are the one who has the ability to see beyond all our cares and concerns. You are the one who reassured us today, as we heard in the service, that you'll help us, that we have no reason to fear anything. And we know, Father, that that fear not was mentioned 365 times in the Bible, so you could logistically say it one time a day. Sometimes we forget, Father, that you are all-powerful, that you can do anything that you say. And we sometimes put human barriers around you, and we forget how powerful you are. See the hearts, the souls of everybody that gathers here. Eternity has been surrounding us this evening, and we include them too in this prayer, that their concerns are laid at your feet, and that you would please also give strength to our brothers and sisters that work there, that their efforts are not in vain, and that, Father, if there's a soul there that thinks they're the only one that's ever gone through the problem they're going through, then send one of us to show them, if we share that same problem, that we can give them a hug, we can encourage them, or even, Father, sometimes what happens is they give us a hug and they encourage us. It is through these exchanges that we all can get stronger in our faith, and that you'll prepare us for that which is coming. See the concerns through the week, Father, that we have as we go back to work and school and whatever else. Maybe there's doctor's visits that are coming up. Then guide the hands of those who attend to us, that we are able to receive the best health help as well. Send angels to heal us through the night, and that, Father, if there's something we've forgotten, then I know you will cover it. And as always, according to your will, we bow, and in your name we pray. Please hear us, Father. We love you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Love you.
Thank you. Love you.
Thank you. Have a great month. Love you guys.